Next reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 67 to 80, where Zechariah is responding to the news of Jesus, and the first he's spoken since the birth of his own son, the John the Baptist. And his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. You know, you get that knock on the door and you open the door and there's some smiley person there with some kind of clipboard at the door. My immediate reaction is to groan. I'm already thinking, no thanks, before they have even said what it is they've got to say to me. And even if I think that perhaps there might be something in what they have to offer, it's just never a good time. I'm always doing something else. It's not convenient. Why do these guys always manage to come just when you've served up your dinner, for example? And even if it is a good time, and they want to offer me a contract of some kind, I usually have the perfect excuse of, "Oh, I'm already in an existing contract, so I can't help you." If I'm not in an existing contract, I'm still reluctant to trust what they're telling me is actually true, and I don't want to be taken advantage of, and I don't take them at their word because my suspicion tells me they just want something that's ultimately for their benefit, not really for my own. And if I do get past all of those barriers and I'm still at the door, if I do see a need for what they have to offer, and if it happens to not be a bad time, and if I'm not bound to an existing contract, and if miraculously I happen to believe that what they're saying is true and trustworthy, there's still one final problem. I just can't be bothered with the hassle. I cannot be bothered with the hassle of change. I just don't want to change the familiar. And so I do that very Irish thing where you say, "Oh, I'll take your card and I'll get back to you. Thanks very much." I'm never going to get back to them. And I think Christmas can be a bit like that, you know, because Christmas is about God visiting. See that verse 68, "For he has visited and redeemed his people." God himself turning up at our door in the person of Jesus. He visits to set you free. And even as I say, he visits to set you free, the barriers just start to come up. I don't need to be freed from anything, thanks. Or it's not a good time. Or I can't take your word for it. Or I don't want the hassle of change. I understand that kind of reaction. But the Christmas story is one of God overcoming every barrier to bring you true freedom, to turn up at your door, to offer you that freedom. And I'm asking you if you think that might be worth a further look, because he visits to set you free. That's what that word redeemed his people means. He has visited and redeemed his people. It's another word for freedom. And the man that's speaking here is called Zechariah. He was an elderly married man. He had no children. And he had a very unexpected visitor arrive at his door, the angel Gabriel. And Gabriel came to tell him something he couldn't believe, that he would be a dad after all, a dad to a boy who he was to call John. And this John would have an extraordinary role to prepare the way for Jesus to visit, to set his people free. And Zechariah couldn't quite believe that at first either. And Gabriel told him because of his unbelief, he wasn't going to be able to speak until the baby was born. And he gave him the name John. And what we have before us in this reading are then this man's first words in months, his miraculous child, his son, is just over a week old, a miracle baby, and all Zechariah can talk about is someone else's baby. It's really odd. I mean, have you ever been around new parents, if their first child? What does the conversation revolve around? It always revolves around the baby, their baby, not somebody else's baby. But it's especially odd here because Zechariah's wife was decades past being able to conceive, and this baby, John, is a miracle baby, a surprise visitor, but his dad insists that John is there to point to a much greater baby, the most supreme visitor of all, the visitor who sets you free, Jesus, who is now in Mary's womb. Well, maybe you're like me when that unexpected visitor comes to the door. Maybe you think that I am here trying to tell you something you can't believe or don't want to, or trying to sell you some kind of religious contract that you just don't need. Jesus visits to set you free. Were you not free already? Free from what exactly? Look at verse 74. That we, being delivered from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear. You wouldn't naturally think of Christmas as being about freedom from any kind of enemy, would you? Free from what? What enemy? Well, Zechariah reveals a shared enemy when he finally does get around to talking about his own son in verses 76 and 77. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Maybe, like me at the door, you think the idea of sin as some kind of enemy and finding forgiveness is something you just don't want or something you just don't need, an enemy you think you don't have, a sales pitch you just don't believe. But this visit, this Christmas story, this rescue, this freedom is all about asking you to consider that, about considering how this is offering you a restoration of a broken contract, a broken relationship, one we broke the terms of ourselves, which is the source of the mess that we find ourselves living in. I mean, whatever your understanding of these things we are talking about, doesn't it seem to you, as you look at the world around us, not least at the moment, that there's something broken in this world? And don't you, in your own experience, have things which cause you to think that something is broken even in your own self? The scriptures are very real about that brokenness and describe its root in sin, and call sin our enemy. So serious is that brokenness that God himself visits to resolve it and to defeat it once and for all. Jesus visits to set you free. That's what that term, salvation, there in verse 77 is all about. If there was nothing that we needed rescue from or help with, if there was no real enemy, no need of forgiveness, why do you think, according to our readings, that God would fold all his divine being into a woman's womb to set your freedom in motion? Why would Jesus later say he visited with the express purpose of dying to defeat this enemy and to set you free and to give you life and life to the full? Well, maybe like me at the door, you're thinking, well, this just isn't a good time. It's all a little bit inconvenient. Yet if any of this is true and God himself actually visited according to these terms to set us free, could there ever be a bad time to take these realities on board? God's words can be trusted. He never breaks contract. He never lies. He never tries to sell you something you don't need or manipulate you. His promises come at infinite cost and inconvenience to himself. But maybe you do see something in all this, but you just don't want, like me, the hassle of change. Maybe you hear it once a year at an event like this, but you never follow it up. You're right to think that taking something like this seriously would be to break contract with a familiar way of life. It will and does bring about absolute change every day of your life. But it is the best kind of change you could ever encounter. Just soak in these words from verses 78 to 79. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. You see in these verses how the visitor pierces the gloom, how he dispels the darkness, how he floods your life with light, excuse me, with light, with forgiveness, with tender mercy. The tender mercy of our God. And he guides your every step into the way of peace. He visits to set you free. Free from guilt. Free from fear. Free from the weight and oppression of brokenness. Free from the burden of sin. He sets you free to serve him at his own expense. That is liberating change. And God overcame every conceivable barrier to turn up at your door to offer that freedom, to come alongside you, to come alongside you in tenderness, in mercy. He visits to set you free. Will you see past all those barriers this Christmas and find that freedom in the person of Jesus?